Greetings and welcome to the latest edition of the FPL Dilemma for an Addict, the official podcast, the Football Addicts community on Facebook. My name is William and joining me again is Bakes. Sir, how are we going?
Mate, Bill, it's great to be back. It's been a two-week hiatus. I think we had an illness in the podcasting booth, didn't we? And then you and I were both away last week. You're on camp and I was down in Melbourne, and I got to ask, how did you go in the Melbourne Cup?
I didn't do anything. I forgot it was on. I was so busy on camp, but I hear you performed pretty well.
Oh, mate, thanks for asking. I'm really glad you asked. actually spent my entire race budget on one horse, and that would have been the Sweet Prince, and walked away a nice, healthy winner, thanks. Thanks for Michael, you know who you are, for the tip. Although I am still kicking myself that I went each way. I should have just backed it in for the win. So, very, very happy. I don't think I've ever won a cent on the Melbourne Cup. That'll do me for a few years. Very good.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So how much did you win all up?
Won 2.5.
Nice.
The annoying thing was that I got 1, 3, and 4 in the trifecta, which paid $26,000, I think. Not quite life changing, but that's about 80,000 cases of beer, I think. So it was a good day. Frankie Dettori rode the second horse and he flattened about 5 horses coming around the corner and into the straight. So I was hoping that he was going to get disqualified. But they don't tend to do that in the Melbourne Cup. So he got a month ban and $20,000 fine. Unfortunately, I stayed at 1, 3, and 4 instead of 1, 2, and 3. So very close. Closest I've ever come.
Instead of 20 cases of... instead of like 2,000 cases of beer, you got 20 cases of beer, so...
Something like that, yes. Awesome. That'll do.
Yeah, I just want to apologise to the hordes of avid listeners that tune in to our show. I was ill. I think it was in game week 11. I'd come down with an influenza, and apologies. We couldn't broadcast the program. And last week, for those loyal listeners that have been following since episode 1, you would know that I'm a classroom teacher and I had other engagements, and they consisted of going to a school camp down in Brisbane. So, again, apologies for that one as well. Sometimes
good news is that we're back, mate.
Yeah, we're back, which is good. And it's good to be back. It's good to be back, so... Cool.
Absolutely.
Game week 11 and 12, I'll do a quick recap. Bakes, how have you been travelling?
Mate, pretty piss poor. As Richie would say, I think last week I got 43 points and the average was 45. I actually don't know what I'm doing as your sidekick on this podcast. Definitely adding a bit of colour, but maybe not the right kind of colour. It's a murky brown, I'd say, the colour I'm adding to this podcast, because it's not ruby red, that's for sure, but... I couldn't even pick my nose at the moment, never let alone a winner. So apart from the Melbourne Cup, of course, but yeah, it's pretty grim, mate. I had blanks everywhere. You know, Sanchez, De Bruyne, Mane, who was my captain, Mahrez, my entire midfield blanked, Pele blanked, my entire backline blanked, of Dawson, Dyer, and Coleman, and then Butland did well. 10, I should have captained him. I should have every week. Vardy scored and Lukaku scored. But, yeah, disaster, really. How'd you go?
Oh, I think I scored 54. So, it's pretty good. The only reason that I've done pretty well the past two game weeks, the only reason I've done well, I've just jagged the captains, I guess. I mean, this season it seems like, well, these last couple of weeks, if you haven't like jagged your captain, then you've performed pretty well. So I think, yeah, I mean, I have, I guess, due to those captains, I performed pretty well. I mean, I've got a Green Arrow, which has been pretty small Green Arrows, but, you know, any Green Arrow is a good arrow. And, yeah, just captaining, I've just captained, both my captains got returns. I captained Vardy this week. I had the big C next to Mane all week, but I my balls weren't big enough. I didn't do it, and I eventually went with Vardy, who's probably the safe option.
We traded texts on that, and we're both sitting on Mane. And, mate, I don't know if it's big balls or just stupidity, but I kept with him the second week in a row. And you get to the point that you take the captain off these guys, and they're the one. That's the time, you know, they score four goals and go berserk. So now I'm just terrified.
Yeah, he's still a good pick. I'm definitely keeping him for a little while. The other thing for me, I brought in Harry Kane just after his hat trick, and he's certainly paid off. So he's probably the primary reason why I've moved up a couple of ranks. I mean, he's not a differential, but I mean, he certainly was 2 weeks ago. I mean, I think his ownership's at about 18%, but a lot of the players that have him will be like those dead players that don't really participate anymore. I think if you look at his ownership in the top 10,000, it's pretty low. So I haven't got the data, but I think if you look at the data on, there's a website called FPL Discovery, and I think that website will show you his percentage in the top 10K, and I don't think it'd be all that high. But I haven't done too badly, because I've jagged two captains. I got Vardy, and I captained Kane against Villa. And I brought in Kane. So that's probably mean. I think that's the only real difference between my team and your team. You had Lukaku, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I should have captained him, but I just thought there were easier sort of games on offer. But you know, not to be really. I mean, God, it was just. I should have captained Lukaku or Vardy. I mean, I just thought Vardy. You know, you're sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't. You captain Vardy and he blanks and you go, well, of course, he scored, you know, eight goals in eight games. You know, his time was up. That was stupid. And, you know, it's just hard to pick the matchups at the moment. I mean, Lukaku was away at West Ham, and I thought that was a tougher match than against Sunderland. It's just a difficult one. I think Kane's been a great pick. His ownership has rocketed up. As you say, it's at 22.2%. I'm sure we'll talk about Harry Kane a bit this podcast, but he's looking like a quality addition to the team. But there's been some interesting results, hasn't there? I really loved Liverpool thrashing Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. Yeah. And that was just one of my favourite results of all time. And then they just crashed to Palace. But there's, I think it's interesting. I mean, it is international break. We can really sort of sit back and look at, you know, who the form teams are, who are the teams who are sort of having mixed, inconsistent time, like the team I support, like Liverpool, and there's some teams that are genuinely, you know, you've kind of got to get off the bus, I think, as well. Yeah. So could be worth talking about some teams in this pod, but yeah.
Yeah. Just think, if you haven't heard the news, Dimitri Payet was ruled out for 3 months. I think it was early this morning. So that's a pretty significant injury. He is very, very high ownership. He's probably been the most consistent player of these first 12 game weeks. We'll probably talk about that as well. And some potential players you could bring in, some potential cause and effect type strategies you might want to implement into your teams. So I think we'll get stuck into the agenda. We'll look at the high scorers. We'll look at the bandwagons. We'll look at the clean sheets. We'll look at the Rate My Team. What's his name? Mehmet. Is his name Mehmet? Is he from The Office? And
Mehmet. Yeah, Mehmet. He's our accounts guy in The Office. Yeah. I've got a very interesting story about Mehmet when we get to him. So it's We'll hang that out there so the listeners keep on listening.
Keep on listening, yeah. We have to get those ratings. We've got to get those ratings. his team, I'm looking at it now, it's pretty good. It's probably the best team, I think, I've looked at this segment so far, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Cool, all right. Let's get stuck into the agenda. Looking at the high scorers, so we'll look at keepers. Obviously, we've got Jack Butland and Robbie the Miracle Man Elliott. So, Jack Butland, yeah, so he comes in with 10 points against Chelsea. So, yeah, he's performing outstandingly. So he's had two double-digit scores now in a row. So Stoke have had four clean sheets in five games. I remember a few pods ago I was saying that, you know, I'm really crabby that I've got double Stoke defence and they just look like they weren't going to keep any clean sheets. And all of a sudden, bam, they start keeping clean sheets. So
I think Stoke are a team on the rise. At least in Butland, you know, we'd be talking about Butland a lot if he was in a top four team.
Yeah.
He's a genuine superstar keeper in the making, and he'll end up at a good club. No offence to Stoke, but he will end up in a top club. He's a shot stopper, and his general work is fantastic. You know, he's the boss. So I've had him for a while. He's my number one keeper. He's kind of becoming a bit fixture-proof. He makes that many saves. He's always sort of in the points. I think Stokes, you know, I've sort of got them down as kind of having mixed form. You can't really trust them, but I actually like them as a team. I think they've got their defence sorted, as you said. They're keeping cleans. But I think their attack's sort of coming together as well. I think Shaqiri's showing really good signs, and Arnautovic, is it?
Yeah.
On the other side, he's obviously scored, and you got Boyan running around, and yeah, I just think that they're a team on the rise.
Yeah. Would you get, if you didn't have Butland, would you get him in?
Yes, I would at that price. I think that he would definitely be. You know, if I was wildcarding right now, I'd probably... I'm not a huge fan of spending big on keepers. But I'd probably be looking at Butland, and depending on my budget, you know, someone like a Cech or De Gea, I guess, at this point. Probably De Gea, actually, because I probably like Arsenal elsewhere on the pitch.
Yeah.
Probably like too many Arsenal players. And I think De Gea... you know, offers you that entry point into Manchester defence, which is a lot less than Smalling. So I'd probably be looking at Butland and De Gea, or Butland and Hennessy for a cheap mix.
I've slight concerns with Butland. I think I've looked at his save percentage, and it's at 79%, which is really high. And you know, he has performed well, but that a save percentage that high is pretty unsustainable. I think the average... I'll have a look. I can't remember the average. But they've been conceding heaps of shots and saying that Butland's performed very well. I think his numbers are going to drop. I think so. Stoke are conceding... They're conceding 14.5 shots a game, which is fourth worst. And I think the average is about 13. So that means that their average is more than a shot above. So I think whereas someone like Arsenal, they have an even higher save percentage. So I mean, so one would say, oh, why don't they start conceding? Because their save percentage is going to regress as well. But the reason they won't regress is because they don't concede shots, whereas Stoke do. I think, I mean, I'd definitely, if I didn't have Butland, I'd definitely consider him because his ownership's going to start going up. I think they've got Southampton, and then they've got Man City. So I mean, I'll definitely consider getting him in two game weeks' time. So if you look at the shots conceded, Stoke actually rank really high for shots conceded in the box. So I mean, their defense is doing well. Like, they're defending in a way so that they're restricting opponents to shoot outside the box. Which is good, but and they're also not conceding many big chances, so that's a plus too. I think just these next two fixtures, I mean, as you said, if you can, and you said Hennessy, like if you get Butland and Hennessy, I think Crystal Palace have two really good fixtures coming up, so you can easily rotate those two.
The only problem is, of course, is that, you know, as you say, Stokes got the fourth worst shots per game conceded, but Crystal Palace actually have the worst.
Yeah, that's right. So, right. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be a bit of a could. I think if I was wildcarding and that was it, I think I'd probably be looking at De Gea and Butland as my second, or maybe De Gea and Hennessy, and with De Gea sort of playing week in, week out. But I think you're right. I mean, Butland's served us well. He's had 50 saves. I think the next best is
he's going to get that
46 from Howard, and then it really drops off quickly then to like 42 for Cech. So and then you're in the 30s. So there's only like three guys above 40, and he's on 50 already. So he's working super hard. But you're right, the statistics don't lie, and Stoke are conceding a lot of shots. So
he's a good
keeper. He's been good today. But,
yeah, he has been. He's been fantastic.
When you do a dive on it, I think you're right. I think the stats are going to catch up with him at some point.
They will. Yeah, I think they will eventually. I mean, you can ride that high save percentage for a while. It's really a case of sort of working out when you should jump on and when you should jump off.
Yeah,
that's the hardest thing. Okay, let's move on to Robbie Elliott. So I watched this game, and it was pretty well a miracle that Newcastle didn't lose. They shouldn't have won. It was just crazy.
Did you see the stats from that? Like there was like 40. What was it? The stats were just insane. I think there was 40 shots to three or something like that. It was a crazy statistical game.
Dan Gosling was just having shots from inside the box, like 50 shots inside the box.
Here we go. 20 shots to two. Bournemouth over Newcastle. There were 5 shots on target to 1, 8 shots off target to 1, 7 block shots.
Ridiculous.
Crosses 44-3. That's the thing. That's the stat I was looking for. 44-3
crosses
and 16 corners to 0. I mean, what? That is the great escape. And then Perez jagged the goal. Wijnaldum provided the assist.
He did. Yeah, it was. They had one. It was like. I mean, I'm not sure the numbers, but they had. It looked like they had one shot on target, and Federici, and it wasn't even like it was like a a stabbed shot as well. Like it went under Federici's hand.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly. But oh my god, that's hilarious. Because the thing was that I was starting to think that Newcastle were looking okay on paper.
They're rubbish, mate.
Yeah, Bournemouth just absolutely towed them. Yeah. If Bournemouth had a striker, it would have been chaos. Yes.
So yeah, but saying that, like Elliott performed inhumanly well. So. And the fixtures for Newcastle are good in the short term. I mean, I still don't see them keeping clean sheets. I think you should still look elsewhere. I think, but saying that, he's still a 4.0 keeper. If you're on a wild card, then I don't see the harm in getting him in. But saying that, if I were to get Elliott, you probably should have got him in already. I guess when you sort of knew he was going to start with Tim Krul out for so long. But saying that, Robbie Elliott's not the main. He's not number two. He was number three. Carl Darlow, who's a Welsh keeper, he was actually number two.
He's number two, right?
Yeah, and he's injured as well, and he's due back soon.
Yeah, so, I think for me, like Hennessy would be the number two in that 4-0 range.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, and sure. just thinking about it as we talk, I think I'd probably go, you know, if I was wildcarding, I'd probably be trying to squeeze De Gea and Hennessy in at this point.
Definitely Hennessy. De Gea is a good one.
De Gea, sorry, God, De Gea, what am I saying?
De Gea, De Gea. No, it's all Spanish, just silly.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's move on to defenders.
Yeah.
So. Two standout defenders, and then there's actually a whole bunch of defenders that scored 8 points, and they're all sort of worth talking about. There's a whole bunch, whole plethora of defenders that are certainly worth talking about. So looking at Scott Dan, a lot of talk about sort of Scott Dan at the moment. By the looks of things, he definitely poses a fair bit of goal threat. But saying that, I was looking at the stats, and Hangeland poses more, but he's lost his spot now. And
he's not rusted on, is he? Delaney's in there.
Delaney's in there. Yeah, that's right. And he poses next to no goal threat at all. I think I don't think the cash that you'd spend on Dan over someone like Papa Suarez might be worth it. It could be. I don't know. I think. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, in terms of defending holistically. Over the past six game weeks, seeing Palace aren't too bad, but at the same time they don't concede that many shots in the box, but they do concede a lot of shots in general. So they've as you said a similar defensive profile to Stoke. So they do concede 16.5 shots per game. So very similar profile to Stoke. I was considering bringing in a Palace defender this week before I knew Payet was injured. I don't know. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, Scott Dan, it's his second goal, right? And I think I noticed that he's the second most transferred in defender as well as scoring. I don't know if that's a knee-jerk reaction or people looking for a point of difference. He's only selected by 8% of people. It's a hard one. I think Pardew has a real focus on set pieces, from what I hear. And I saw something that said that, you know, something like a third of goals come from set pieces in the EPL. So with a 6'4" guy like Scott Dan, why wouldn't you? He's a trusted goal scorer, and he's... you know, everyone's looking for that, you know, point of difference, I guess, in the back line. It's just hard to justify from a clean sheet perspective, you know. Yeah. I just sort of struggle with Crystal Palace. Just seeing that stat that they're giving up the most shots per game does concern me. And then you got Suarez, who, you know, he's at 4.5 and offers sort of assists. I sort of value assists more than goals, I think. We've sort of spoken about defenders scoring goals. They're good for 3 or 4. So he's basically, you know, one more goal, he's had a good year, you know. Like, it's not that much to get excited about. But point of difference, I don't know. I'm not sold.
He's pretty popular in the Fantasy Football Scout forums at the moment. A lot of people like him. But, I mean, he's not a concern for me this week. So, I don't know. Just to watch him, I guess. I probably, with that stat, giving up the most shots, I probably wouldn't be thinking about getting a Palace defender. And I'd probably consider bringing a Palace attacker in.
I mean, they're an electric team. I mean, they are an electric team. Yeah. Liverpool struggled to contain them, especially down the wing. So they've got to be the fastest team in the EPL.
They play with a lot of pace. Yep. Yeah. Them and Leicester, very pacey teams.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Move on to Maya Yoshida. So he came in with 9 points. So I think I read that Cedric, the usual right back, didn't play due to a tactical reason. So, I mean, neither Yoshida or Cedric are nailed on now. So, he's not worth bringing in. You just have to cough up the cash for someone like Bertrand or Van Dijk.
Yeah, mate, you brought up Van Dijk in a previous pod, and he wasn't on my radar, but since you brought him up, that guy's all quality, I reckon.
He's a good player.
If you want to get a goal threat kind of defender who is also going to rack up the clean sheets, you know, just extend to Van Dijk over Dan, an extra 0.5 or whatever it is. I just think Van Dijk's in a different class. He's playing for a much better team that look really settled.
Yeah, and particularly away as well. Southampton, they've got those stats away. They keep clean sheets away. So, yeah.
Well, you can see the difference, and really, you know, it's probably a bit silly trying to captain Mane because I think he played away on the weekend. But you know, Southampton really do. They really do contract when they're away.
Yeah.
You know, the stats really dry up for Pelé. They really do contract and try to just squeeze a goal and then sit back. And yeah. I think that that's working really, really well for them.
Mane should have. He should have scored, but he had.
He should have. That left foot snap.
Yeah, he's very, very threatening.
Yeah.
He should have scored.
But you know, Van Dijk's 5.6. I mean. I'd just be extending to Van Dijk, rather than Dan, and definitely, you know, Cedric's been, that's the second time he's been sort of exchanged for you know, strategic reasons.
Yeah, so he's definitely not nailed on. His owners have been pretty crabby, and like. We all assumed that he was nailed on, so, and then he wasn't. So I think the good thing about Southampton is that they've also got like a really low save percentage, and that's going to improve. So it's almost like the goals, like we know they're a defensively strong team, but with the goals that they have conceded, they've actually been really unlucky.
Yeah.
And they're only conceding 12 shots a game, which is one of the best in the league. So. I mean, they've got Man City in game week 14, so you're going to need someone to play instead of your Southampton asset if you've got an asset in defence. But yeah, they do look really good. That they've looked good for a while. I mean, I haven't got any Southampton defensive coverage, and I won't get any this week, and probably not next week either. But yeah, they're definitely on the radar.
Yeah, definitely. I think that Southampton and Tottenham at this point are going to fight it out for fourth for me.
Yeah. Yeah, they both look really good. Mm.
Yeah.
All right, it's on the Vincent Kompany. So he came in with 8 points as well. So I'm assuming the clean sheet, 2 bonus. So, yeah, very expensive, but you pay that extra for the security. So both Otamendi and Kompany look to be nailed on, whereas now Zabaleta and Clichy are back. Kolarov and Sanya aren't nailed on anymore. So if you want that security from Man City, you're going to be spending the extra million.
Yeah.
It's probably not worth it. I think you can get away with getting a Southampton defender or a Tottenham defender or even a Man United. Oh, you got Chris Smalling, but even Marcus Rojo instead, I don't think it's worth the extra million, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that you've got cheaper ways into some of these defences. And you know, we spoke about De Gea. He's a full 1.1 million cheaper than Smalling. So
yeah,
City defence. I don't know. It's it could be worth it.
Could be.
But you're paying through the nose, aren't you?
Statistically, they're really good. I think with that extra million, I think it could be spent more effectively in the attack.
Yeah.
And the same...
Otamendi's very highly rated across Europe, I hear, like statistically.
Yeah.
So... And he seems to be really nailed on this year, so...
Yeah, he seems to be nailed on. Mangala's definitely lost his spot, I think.
Yeah.
So, it's same with Chris Smalling. Like, he's 6.5 as well, and it's just... I was so cranky, like, I brought in Rojo, and he's, like, a million and a bit cheaper, and I looked at his disciplinary record, and it's not pretty, and... He got the yellow card, and he lost any chance of getting bonus points, and Chris Smalling mopped up in the bonus points. So I don't know. Like, yeah, I'll sit here and say it's not worth the extra million to get Chris Smalling, but you know, someone Rojo is probably the only, apart from De Gea, like he's the guy that he seems to be the first choice left back. Not entirely nailed on.
Yeah,
but. he's probably worth the risk.
I think he's a great choice to get into the Manchester City defence. I think he's probably the number one choice.
Mm.
Just based on price.
Just price, yeah. Because
they are you know, miserly, Manchester United. They've got, yeah. You know, we've talked about them. They're an entire team of defenders,
yeah.
Midfielders. Mm. So you know, you've got to crack them before you get to the defenders.
Yeah.
You've got Smalling, who's a wonderful defender. You've got a world class keeper. They're miserly. So if you can get a cheap entry into them that's going to play week in, week out, I think Rayo is a good option.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So we'll move on to midfielders. So a couple of surprising ones. Johnny Howson, 11 points. So he's a deep-lying midfielder. I mean, initially looking at it, I mean, I wouldn't say bother, but he sports some decent shot stats. At 4.9, I am considering him as a downgrade for Payet. I saw the goal, I think it was like a second phase play from a corner, I think. And so he plays in the double pivot with Alex Teddy, and it looks like Teddy is the more defensive of the two. So whether you give up your fifth midfielder spot for him, or someone else in the 4.5 to 5 range, sort of is another story. I'm considering bringing this guy in. I mean, as a fifth midfielder, I'm just going to sit him there. I think his goal of those cheaper midfielders, his goal threat stats are pretty good. So you've got of those guys, you've got Junior Star. Obviously, we'll probably talk a bit more about that later. But I don't mind him. As a fifth midfielder.
Yeah, I think I watched a bit of that game. He was, I know he scored, but he was everywhere. Mm. He could have had a bag that day. He actually dominated the game. Every highlight basically featured him, every attacking raid. Just got to be careful. He was against Swansea, and Swansea are really nosedive. I think that they're really struggling at the moment.
Yeah, they suck.
I'm not sure why. They look strong on paper. Mm. You know, they've got Williams sort of marshalling defence, and he's a pretty experienced player. I'm not sure what's going on at Swansea, but their start to the year was definitely a false dawn. They are in woeful form. So just got to be careful. He has racked up some great points against Swansea. I think he got 11. He got the bonus 3. He scored. Got a clean sheet. So, you know, got the full deck of cards. But I'm just a little bit worried about the opposition.
Yeah. I think definitely. Yeah. I consider that. Cool. All right. We'll move on to Lingard. Now, you have brought in Jesse Lingard this week, haven't you?
I have. I've brought him in because Payet's out, and I think it all ties into Aguero, but Aguero's on the way back. He is aiming to play that Liverpool game. He's a slow starter. I don't think there's a massive hurry to get him back. I know that everyone will be madly, you know, taking hits left, right and centre to get him back into their team, but he is a slow starter, and I'm sure that he won't be playing 90 minutes week in, week out for a few weeks. But he is back, so you know. I think that most people, due to the complete absence of any form from Diego Costa, and because Aguero has been on the sidelines, everyone's got a crap load of cash. So everyone's been running around with really eight premium players in their midfield and forward line, and rotating them really badly in my case, but other people have had more success, but they're rotating them. So I had the luxury of, you know, for example, putting Mahrez on the bench the week he scored 15 with 2 goals. What a luxury, you know. Yeah. So I think that time's coming to an end. Payet has bitten the dust, and instead of upgrading to Ozil, which 90% of FPL players have done, and probably is the smart thing, I've actually downgraded him to Lingard, and it's, you know, I mate, to tell you the truth, I didn't even look into the stats. I don't think he's played enough to have anything meaningful statistically. But I just like the way he plays. I think that Manchester United, the fans are up in arms with Louis van Gaal. They want to attack. He's an attacking player. Martial, Lingard, youth, pace. I think that, you know, he got his first start and scored, and he's looked threatening every time he's come on. Mm. So it's a gut feel, mate. 4.5. He's playing for a top three team, top four team. 4.5 in attack. What about a guy to sit on the bench?
Yeah, it's some risk. Some risk comes with it, but at the same time, like, he's going to sit on your bench. I think, seriously, it wouldn't surprise me to see him, like, start consistently. Like, if he plays well, Ben Hull won't be scared to keep playing him. Just like, I mean, Ashley Young last season, like, if anyone had said Ashley Young was going to be starting at the start of last season, like, they would have, you know, told you, get your coat and get out. Whereas, like, but, you know, and he was starting over Di Maria, because Van Gaal thought he deserved it, and I don't see why this can't happen with Lingard. Now, Lingard's not 17 years old. He's 22 years old. He's been in the system for a while. He's been around, and I think he's a good pick, and he is a player that I'm considering bringing in as well as a downgrade. And I agree. I mean, I took the risk and went with a strong front eight, and with, I think I brought in Mane for Andrew Sermon, I think, and although, I mean, I wouldn't say it was a success, but it wasn't a complete failure either. But yeah, it's definitely time to downgrade that eight midfielder and bring in some cash to get Aguero in. How much cash have you got now from that downgrade?
I've got 3.8.
All right. So, can you bring in Aguero without a hit?
Short answer is, I think I'm 0.1 off.
Oh, really?
If I ditch Pele.
Yeah.
So Pele and Lukaku, I get 8.44. Just having a look. Yes, I'm 0.1 off, but that.
Yeah.
I get 12.2. So. Yeah, I don't think that really. I'm not really looking at getting him in straight away. I'm probably looking at about. He's got a game against Liverpool. Liverpool have really sort of getting themselves sorted out. And I think he'll sort of maybe get half an hour in that game.
Yeah, no,
I'm not in a massive hurry to bring him in. I think the third week back he plays Stoke. So that's probably the game that I'll target.
Yeah.
So, cool. Yeah, who have they got? I'm not fast.
Game week 15, they've got Southampton. Oh yeah, I mean that won't be a picnic.
Yeah.
And then they've got Stoke. So yeah, game week 16. Cool. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So if I downgrade Payet to, see, this junior Stanislas guy sort of come in out of the cold. He's been around as well. I think he was a West Ham junior, and he has oodles of talent. He's just got a bad attitude, apparently.
But who's that?
Junior Stanislas from Bournemouth. He played on the weekend. He looked really, really good. And yes. He's 4.2.
Mm-hmm.
And it's looking... And he played because Mark Pugh was injured. And the rumblings is that he looked... Because Stanislas looked good, Mark Pugh's not going to get back in. So he's another one I'm looking at. 4.2, geez, that's a good price.
Yeah.
For someone that's an attacking type midfielder that's going to start, so he's another one as well. Yeah. But yeah, Jesse Lingard. So 11 points, he got the goal. They got the clean sheet, and what's that? 3 bonus points. So
points. Yeah, did well. I mean, but who are the others around that range? I mean, Drinkwater's, you know, a consistent starter for Leicester and provides the odd assist.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that he's a massive goal threat. But who else kind of sticks out? I mean, there's some good players. Like,
yeah,
Lucas for Liverpool is our best player. at Liverpool right now. But he's 4.4, but he's not going to get any fantasy points.
There's a, looking at the, you've got Dan Gosling from Bournemouth, who he's got a really good minutes per shot stat, but that's skewed from the Newcastle game. But he's one. Dan Gosling, you've got Alman Abdi from Watford. You've got James Morrison from West Brom, who I don't mind. There's Dele Alli from Spurs, who I'd consider. Scott Sinclair from Villa, now that Remy Gard's taken over, he might give him some time. I don't mind Yan M. Villa from Sunderland. There's Ketchy Anya from Watford. Stephen Davis from Southampton. And there's Drinkwater from Leicester is probably the other one.
Davis from Southampton was the other one I was considering.
Yeah, he's playing in the hole, and he's less than 5 million. Yeah, he's got to be worth the scope.
The problem I had there was I've got this numbnut called Target sitting in my defence.
Oh, you got three Southampton.
Started the season at left back and sat there on 4.0 million, and I haven't traded him out yet. So. Yeah. I can't fit Pelé, Mane, Davis, and Target. So I probably would have gone Davis, to tell you the truth.
What about Jordan Ibe? He started on the weekend, didn't he? I mean, he's not nailed on, is he?
Yeah, listen, he is exciting. And I think everyone at Liverpool has wanted to see more of him.
Yeah.
And he's starting to get some game time. Liverpool's a work in progress, you know, a new manager. Ibe's definitely an exciting player. But, yeah, not quite nailed. You know, Milner's out injured at the moment.
Oh, that's why,
gotcha. You know, you'd expect him to come back. Henderson's injured as well. Ives more of a winger. But, yeah, just hard, just in flux. Definitely exciting player, though.
Yeah, cool. So let's move on to the next player to bring in. It's our second last player to bring in a double-digit whore from midfielders, and your boy Philip Coutinho. So another double-figure whore. He's boasted good stats for years, but he's sort of never consistently got those fantasy returns, has he?
Mate, well, as we know, he's the shot king.
Serial shot king.
I think he averages more shots per game than any other EPL player. In the last 4 weeks, you know, almost half of them have been within the penalty box.
Yeah, so they have. Yeah,
he's a good 30 metres closer than usual. he's edging there, and he really, I think that the new manager has given him a lease of life. It seems like he's carried. He's kind of like the best player at Liverpool, but I'm not sure that it sits that well with him. I think he'd like to be the second best player, feeding.
Yeah, I see.
Maybe
yeah.
Sturridge.
Yeah.
But he, you know, Coutinho's like, because he can go on a tear for a few weeks.
He's not the man, is he? No, he doesn't have that ego, does he?
Yeah.
Of being the man. So, in his last...
He's going great. He did look bloody tired, though, I've got to say, in the last 20 minutes. Against our Palace, he tried to go a few times and there was just nothing. You could just tell. I was watching him closely, and he did look tired, but he's a fantastic player. He's great on the ball, and
So in the last six games, he's got three goals and two assists. Like that could be worth 8 million. I think he's definitely worth a look. I think. I mean, it's really if you're gonna make a direct trade from Payet to someone of a similar price, like it's got to be him or Ozil. He's got the Klopp factors in there. I don't mind him. I really don't. I think three goals and two assists, that's worth 8 million. It just depends whether he keeps it up. And we'll see. All right. Speaking about a Payet downgrade, we've got Manuel Lanzini. Now, this guy looks good, doesn't he?
He does. I think he's on loan to West Ham, and I think they want to buy him for about £8 million at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But he does look really good. Oh, I just get worried about West Ham full stop. I mean, you made the point in an earlier pod, their stats are too good.
Yeah.
And they are due for a dive. Yeah. And that combined with the fact that the heartbeat of the team, Dimitri Payet, is gone,
yeah,
just sends warning bells everywhere. You know, like, where's their next goal coming from? Yeah. And this guy, yeah, he's scored a couple of great goals. He's had a great few weeks, but I'm off West Ham until they work out how to play without their main man. I mean, everything went through Payet. Everything.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Yeah,
he's the game's second highest scorer. He's near or highest scorer. Like, it's just outrageous.
Yeah, I think I agree. They really, for West Ham to get results, they're really going to need someone like him to stand up, or like they're going to need Andy Carroll to stand up and make a fist of it. And yeah, who knows? I mean, they might. As a fifth midfielder, I don't mind Lanzini. He's 5.3, so there's pretty good value. But I think if you're considering getting Aguero in relatively quickly, I probably would save that extra 0.7 and get someone in, like, you know, someone at 4.5, for example.
Yeah.
I think. Cool, let's move on to strikers. So we've got, the three big scorers were the three guys that we've all been looking at, and most of us have got in. We've got Jamie Vardy, Romelu Lukaku, and Harry Kane. So we'll look at Jamie Vardy. I think the question here is, and this is sort of a question on your philosophy in the game, if you don't have Vardy, do you get him in now?
I just think you have to, because he's still sub-7.
Yeah.
And you know, you're looking at a front three of Vardy, Aguero, and take your pick, you know. If you can extend to Kane, that's great. I think Kane's a really good choice. Or you rotate that third striker through, depending on fixtures. But, you know, Vardy at 6.9, you'd have to really dry up, wouldn't he? But while he's fit, you just got to pick him. Like, he chases everything down. He forces Leicester to defend on the front foot.
Mm.
There's quick turnovers, there's counter-punching, he's got pace. He's in the game. Unless he absolutely runs himself to a standstill, for me, I still think he's good value at 6.9.
Yeah, I mean, his stats are sustainable. It's not like he's taking one shot a game and scoring a goal.
About 30% conversion, which is on par with a couple of other strikers.
Yeah, correct? It's pretty good. Yeah, it's not ridiculous. It's not Yaya Toure 2013 or whatever. So
the interesting thing is that, you know, he hits a lot of his shots inside the box, so he gives himself every chance. Yeah. I don't think he's had a shot outside the box all season.
He's a predator.
Yeah, so, you know, really, I mean, compare that to someone like Barkley, whose shots are, I think he's got 16% of his shots inside the box. I just don't think that you got to be looking at guys who shoot and give themselves a chance. And when you're shooting inside the box, you're giving yourself a chance.
Chance, yeah, definitely. Cool, so Lukaku. It's sort of looking like, this season he's starting to normalise. You know, at the start of the season, we're all saying, like, let's move to 3-5-2 because there's no strikers, but it seems like there's too many now. And you know, for me, like, I can't fit this guy in. For me, it was either him or Harry Kane. I've gone Harry Kane. And I stand for that decision, but I know not having Lukaku in is going to hurt. I think, you know, his ownership, it's pretty high, and he's a big option, and he looks really good. He's really starting to kick into gear for me, and he seems to be maintaining, his level of returns. And as I said in the previous pod, like, I thought this guy's been my sort of, you know, real big personal demon troll type thing, but he's starting to look really good. And you got him in a couple of weeks ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I was targeting the Everton run. So, and I've actually bought Coleman in as well.
Oh, yeah.
over the last few weeks. So I think, I've been really happy with Lukaku. Since I brought him in, I think he's scored. So the guy I haven't been happy with is Pele. He's gone cold. But yeah, he got a goal and two assists against Sunderland. He got a goal against West Ham, and that's when I brought him in, against Sunderland. So after he got through that nightmare of West Brom, Liverpool, Manchester, and Arsenal, that's when I brought him in. He's, Everton have a great extended run of about 10 games that are all that they can get a result out of. So it was just based on that, really. I feel the same way. He's a hot and cold player, but he's just a young fella as well. I think he's only 23. It seems like he's been around forever.
Yeah.
And this year could be the year where he really gets some consistency.
Yeah. Yeah, so I agree. With him. Yeah. No, I'd be happy with him. Yeah, I liked him. I think he's he's a good pick, and it was either of him or Harry Kane. I regret probably not getting Lukaku in, because he's a million cheaper than Kane. If I had that extra million, I'd probably be able to bring in Aguero without a hit. But now that I've brought Kane in, I'm going to have to... if I want to bring Aguero in for the Southampton match, which I probably won't, but if I do, then I'm going to have to take a hit because I brought in Kane instead of Lukaku. But, moving on to Kane now, he's still a good choice, and I think I'd have to say, I have to be happy for bringing Kane in. He's good.
The underlying stats. I mean, we've spoken about him, and we said to the listeners, his luck had to turn, because his stats were really good.
Yeah.
Plus, to the eye, he was playing really well.
Yeah, just not scoring.
And in the last 4 weeks, he's had 5 goals from 17 shots, which is even better ratio than Vardy. So, last year he was fixture proof as well. He scored against everyone.
Yeah, I think it was funny.
I reckon he's a good option, mate.
Yeah.
Who's your front three?
Kane, Pella and Vardy.
Yeah.
So,
are we looking to retain Kane?
That's the plan. The plan's to upgrade Pella to Aguero.
Yeah, at the donkey.
Yeah, he's just so I had him at the start of the season, did nothing, got rid of him, went on a run, brought him back in, he's done nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep him for this week. They play Stoke, so who knows, they play Stoke at home. They might he might get something. I don't know. Very frustrating.
Yeah.
So cool. So that's the big scorers for the week. So we'll quickly run over the bandwagons and see if there's any bandwagons that sort of stand out that we don't like. Look at clean sheets and then run our eye over Mehmet's team. So looking at the bandwagons, Butland and De Gea. Butland, 15,000, so he has almost doubled De Gea. So that's probably a bit of a knee jerk, I think, for Jack Butland. I think they've seen those big scores. So he scored 11 and 10. So
but they're against Newcastle and Chelsea, two really shit teams.
Chelsea, very shit. Yeah. They are shit. And then the other one is...
Sorry, I just remembered Newcastle's your team.
It's mine. Oh, no, I'm on. When it comes to fantasy, I'm very objective. There's no bias. And then De Gea. Yeah, De Gea is very good. It's almost surprising, I think, in that. That doesn't make much sense to me. I thought more people are beginning De Gea, and not only for the fact that I think United are a better defensive team, but just because he plays for United, people have seen those two scores from Butland and they brought him in, and it just would, with Stoke's fixtures as well that are coming up, it just wouldn't surprise me to see him not get. Oh, who have they got? They've got Southampton and Sunderland. They've got City in game week 15. So yeah, that's kind of surprising, I guess. De Gea is a better pick there, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Long term De Gea, but you just got to watch the fixtures before you jump on. I think with Butland, we've covered him. It's just funny how someone has a good couple of weeks and everyone just jumps on without thinking too hard about what they're doing. But I,
yeah.
you know, what am I doing? I can't even get higher than the average on the site, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
It'll come good. It'll come good. Cool. Moving on to defenders. So looking at you, got Smalling, Scott Dan. What's Monreal's first name? I can't remember. Nacho. That's a great first name. Nacho, yeah. Monreal, Kolarov, and Sanya. Again, pretty short-sighted. People haven't seen that Zabaleta and Clichy are back, but people are just getting them in by the droves. So there's two that don't make much sense. Alderweireld's fine, Koscielny's fine, Van Dijk's fine, Company's fine, Rojo is good too. So yeah, there's a couple of wonky ones. There's two City ones.
Just on Rojo, like the Manchester United draw, Watford away, Leicester away, West Ham home, Bournemouth away, Norwich at home, Stoke away. It's pretty fantastic.
Clean sheets everywhere.
Yeah, so look at Rojo. Look at De Gea, yes.
Yeah, they're the ones. Yep. Good prices. With the midfielders, we've got Ozil, who's being brought in by the droves, understandable. And there's Coutinho. So there's the two. There's those two direct replacements for Payet, really.
Now, we spoke about Ozil a bit. Remember last international break, we were talking. I'd caught a bit of the Germany game, and he was just absolutely on fire. Anything that Germany did came through Ozil, and he's just absolutely brought that to the EPL. He is the form player at this point. He's involving, you know, he leads every creative stat around there. He's in the top three. I think he's, you know, he's up to a 10 assists now, which is four more than the next best. He's got the best key passes in the game, 4.9. He's got, the second best crosses per game. Giroud's a guy we haven't talked about as well, but Giroud's only 8.8.
Yeah.
And with Walcott out, he's also an option as well. Though, you know, he's wasteful as usual, but he's still knocking them in. But Ozil, you know, he just leads all the stats. He's 23 goal attempt assists in the last 4 weeks. The next best is Eriksen with 16. Even if you have Sanchez, a lot of people are saying that they're going to get Giroud in with Sanchez and double up on Arsenal midfield. I think Ozil is a really good pick at this point. Especially given his price.
He's definitely a good pick. He's another one that my tentative plans to get him in next week, but I am scared of not having him this week against they play West. Who do they play? West Brom away.
And then they got Norwich.
Yeah.
Then they got Sunderland, Aston Villa. And then they got a couple of hard games against City and Southampton. Yeah. So you got 4 week window there.
Yeah. So but this game, West Brom don't keep clean sheets at home. They keep clean sheets away.
Yeah.
And, it's just one. Like, I've got Sanchez. I'm even tempted to captain Sanchez this week as a left field choice. But, yeah, I'm a bit concerned not having Ozil this week. See, what I could do, because I can't move Payet to Ozil as a straight swap because I haven't got enough cash. I was going to downgrade De Bruyne to Ozil and then just bench Payet. But I just don't think, I don't know, it's just not worth it. I don't know. It's a bit funny. So,
you're going to downgrade Sanchez or
De Bruyne? Next week, De Bruyne.
Yeah.
I want to double up on Arsenal midfielders for those 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then just bring in Aguero. But I could downgrade Sanchez. It's almost, I guess this game against West Brom, I'll definitely give Sanchez a good look. He looks really tired. Sanchez needs a break, I think. He looks really buggered.
I reckon De Bruyne might as well.
Yeah, he looks buggered too. Yeah.
Trip over his own feet with that tapping.
Yeah.
Just missed it.
he looks buggered too.
Yeah.
Let's look at the bandwagon. See, we spoke about Ozil, Coutinho. We've got Tadic. He's an interesting one. I mean, because I think that's a knee jerk personified. Like, he scored the penalty, so people are bringing him in. I've always thought Mane is a better option. I still think Pella's a better option than him. But he scored that penalty, and what's he done before then? He's got an assist. I mean, he hasn't done too badly, but I still think Mane's better than him. So that's a knee jerk.
He's got the most number of crosses. I mean, Tadic is... I reckon he's a pretty good option, you know? I was sort of tossing up between Tadic and Mane. And to tell you the truth, I didn't realise Tadic was on pens, but...
He's on pens.
I agree. Mane almost plays as a second forward, so that's what swayed me. But Tadic is... he's got the most crosses out of anyone in the EPL. So he's not a bad option, considering though he's on pens. Not sure what his ownership's like, but... he's only owned by 7.5% of people.
Yeah.
7.1. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Mane's got 10% ownership. So they're both pretty low. Yeah, a bit of a coin flip. I just think Mane's a better option.
Yeah.
So moving on, Juan Mata's being brought in. Interesting one. That's a bit of a knee jerk. That's another knee jerk. I don't think just any.
Just a quick one, but Delafau from Everton. I mean, he's a filthy little diver, so you know he's an easy guy to hate. But from an FPL perspective, the last four game weeks he's had four assists and a goal, and he's a real point of difference. He's only in 0.8% of teams. Everton's on that run. I actually think he's a better option than Barkley right now.
I think he is. Yeah.
I was looking at Barkley, just his stats, like he's just shooting too far out. Plus, the other thing was that he completely blanked in that 6-2 win over Newcastle.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
How the guy sort of running midfield gets not one assist or one goal is quite unbelievable.
It's crazy. Mm.
Yeah, that scared the shit out of me. So I reckon Delafau from Everton is not a bad option.
Yeah.
And he's only 6.2.
Yeah, so he's been brought in by 16,000 people. There's people still bringing in Mahrez, Wijnaldum. Yeah, that's not a bad one. There's a bit of a knee jerk there as well. But the two have good fixtures. People are bringing in Kabayi. This is strange because... He scored a couple of goals. They were pretty well all from penalties. He's done nothing for 3 weeks. And people are bringing him in. And his ownership is at 14%. That's a strange one.
Yeah, they've just got a great run. They've got Sunderland at home, Newcastle at home.
Yeah, I suppose.
Everton, Southampton, then they've got Stoke and Bournemouth. So they've just got two really good game weeks coming up. He kind of is the engine at... he's on penalties. I mean, they're the sort of team that do seem to get a few penalties. They've got a lot of speed. They've got Zaha, Bolasie, Sakho, really, really quick players who can draw penalties. Mm. And Kabayi also gets forward as well. For a holding midfielder, he does get into the box a bit. I don't think it's a bad option. I mean, there was one point where I was considering him, but he has gone quiet.
Mm. Yeah, so we've got people are bringing in Sanchez. I don't get that one either, to be honest.
Low numbers, though, down into 11,000.
Yeah, getting a bit low.
We'll have to track this again next week.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, they might know something that I don't. I mean, I'm holding him, but I wouldn't be bringing him in. I'd be bringing in Ozil before him, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Then we got Lanzini, spoken about him, that's fair enough. And Willian, I guess that's fair enough. And then he's the only one that seems to be doing anything at Chelsea, but he's blanked the last three as well.
Yeah, Chelsea, what do you do there?
West Ham, Liverpool, Stoke, he's blanked.
I just watched Chelsea play on the weekend, and they, mate, they were lost. They were lost. There was a point there where Hazard had the ball, and he's kind of dribbled around, beat about six or seven people. Yeah, no one really panicked. All his mates were screaming for the ball, and then I think he ended up blasting a left foot shot over the post, and they just looked devoid of ideas. I've gone off Willian now as well.
Yeah, I think I watched the second half, and I'm thinking, oh, beauty, I've got Jack Butland in. And I think, I'm not sure, I know Pedro hit the post.
Yes, he did,
and,
yes.
And then, yeah, so I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, hit the post.
Moving on to Ford, so we've got Lukaku, big bandwagons, fine. Kane, Vardy, yeah, that's fine. Igalo, yeah, he blanked, but he's a good play. And people are still bringing in Kone. So he came off, he scored the hat-trick, and then he came off at the 63rd minute. And so people are still hanging on to that hat-trick against Sunderland and hoping he's going to score another hat-trick. So, yeah.
Yeah, the only way you're bringing Kone is if you're going at 3-5-2.
Yeah, what's he worth? He's 4.8. Holy moly, I didn't realize he was so cheap. Definitely.
I mean, it's a great option to sit on your bench. I'd be extending to Igalo if that's your
strategy. Yeah.
But that's really, I think Vardy really makes a three up front.
It's just you can't do perfect. It. Yeah, you can't do it. You have to have three strikers now. I mean, there's the season's starting to normalize. The 3-4-3. It always ends up back at 3-4-3. It always does. Yeah. And yeah, it's starting to normalise now. Cool, so that's the bandwagons. We'll quickly look at clean sheets. I haven't looked at them yet. I'll pick a couple out now. United, I think we had a clean sheet. Southampton, we get a clean sheet. Arsenal. I think City, we get a clean sheet.
That's Southampton versus Stoke.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Southampton at home.
Yep. I think Spurs will get a clean sheet. And that's it.
Yeah. I had Man U away. I actually had Chelsea home to Norwich.
Yeah, I was looking at that one. Yeah.
I think Norwich is nude. Yeah. And I had Spurs versus West Ham.
Oh, okay. I think that's a shoe-in. I think with Payet out. And Diafra Sakho out as well.
Yeah. Not sure where the goal's coming from.
Yeah, they're finished.
Lanzini's probably got his quota for this month.
Yeah, I think he has. Cool. So let's look at this team. They're called On Holidays Suckers. Right. So this fella, Mehmet. Where's he from? Yes. Is he Turkish? What's he?
Mehmet Yaxi is Turkish.
Yep.
He's our accounts dude. He now, do you remember Wide Water Sports? Mike Gibson, the dots flying around and everything, and the intro to the Wide Water Sports where the guy runs into the pole vault.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you recall, but there'll be a weightlifter in that, a little guy.
Yeah. Right.
I think he competed in the 69 kilo class or 62 kilo class.
Okay.
And he won gold at Kuala Lumpur, and cartwheeled across the stage and gave fist pumps and went berserk. And big Darryl Eastlake was going berserk, and he won gold. He's just a little guy, and it was just a fantastic thing. And he was on the introduction to Wide Water Sports for about a decade.
Yeah.
And that's our accounts guy's Mehmet.
That's him, yeah. I'm looking at him now. There's a YouTube video. Oh, there you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. Very good.
He's great.
So that's him.
He's a great bloke. He's a insane Liverpool supporter.
Yeah, right.
In fact, we went together to see Liverpool up in Brisbane this year, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this is his team.
Yeah, no, so, I quite like this team.
Yeah, he's a casual FPL player. To tell you the truth, I've helped him out a little bit. Absolutely killed it this weekend. This week, I can see.
He's got a good team. He's done well this week. Yeah, no, I like it.
He was on holidays. His team is called the On Holidays Suckers. He was in Turkey for a couple of months.
Yeah.
Came back and his team was in disarray. So helped him by playing his wild card and helping him through some options. But his keepers are Hennessy and Butland.
Yep, good.
So no surprises there. His backline is Cathcart from Watford, Monreal and Fonte.
Yeah.
With who's he got on the bench? Oh, Jags on the bench. Jackie Elka on the bench, who's obviously
injured.
Yes, he's completely dead now, isn't he, for a couple of months. So Cathcart's a pretty good option, I think, to come on. Obviously, he's sort of blank this week, but Watford have been pretty good.
Yeah, no, they're good defensively. They still are. They were and they still are.
Yeah, Monreal's obviously had a few transfers in this week. I'd say that a lot of that would be a knee-jerk to Bellerin getting injured, but there was no real reason to panic. I think he's missed one game.
He should be back.
He should be back. So, but Monreal's obviously the other option there on the other side. I think he plays left back. I still prefer Bellerin. I mean, Bellerin's faster than Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
Over 40 metres, everyone's saying. So that'll do me. And Fonte, mate, he's the forgotten man. We haven't talked about him much, have we? And Southampton, it's all been about Bertrand and Van Dijk. But Fonte's got him 8 points on the weekend, so he performed pretty well.
Yeah, it's between those three. It's a flip of the coin, I guess. You know.
Absolutely, I like Van Dijk actually.
Yeah. So he's got double Everton defence on his bench, so he needs to look at that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Browning gets a game. I think Browning's his professional bench warmer.
Yeah.
But Jagielka Elka has to go.
Yeah.
So I've spoken to him about that this week.
Yeah.
About some options.
Yeah.
But he's got plenty of money in the bank too. He's got 2.2 million in the bank.
Yeah, I can see that. His midfield is good. And there's a lot of differentials. You've got Wijnaldum, Mane would be considered differentials, and Coutinho is probably almost considered a semi differential as well.
And so this is the Liverpool coming out, and we debated against this. I tried to talk him out of Coutinho. He's just not consistent enough, mate. Like, I love him too, but you know, this is FPL.
And he gets double figure hauls 2 weeks in a row. Yeah.
And he's killed me. I got 43. You got 61 this week. So what do I know? He's got Sanchez, Mane, Wijnaldum. And Westwood on the bench. Obviously, Westwood's injured at the moment, so he doesn't have much cover. As you say, sort of Sanchez is looking tired. But Coutinho's looking a little bit tired too, because don't forget Liverpool playing in Europe as well. I think Europe's really knocking some of these players around, as well as internationals.
Yeah.
But for me, I look at that, and we sort of spoke a little bit about. We kind of reverse engineered it, and Wijnaldum was the last guy you picked. And for me, I was there going, "Oh God, some of these guys look a little bit streaky." Like Mane and Coutinho, to me, just looked a little bit.
They are streaky. Yeah,
I would have liked to have seen Ozil in there.
Yeah,
It's working out okay for him. It probably would be a little bit better with Ozil, obviously, given his recent form, but. Coutinho's really come through, so he's actually had a couple of good game weeks. And up front, he's got Vardy, Lukaku, and Pele, which is my front three.
Yeah, so, which is fine. They're good. That's a good front three.
Yeah. So I'm worried about Wijnaldum being in Newcastle. How many opportunities he's going to get? I'm obviously worried about Mane because he just can't score sheet. But I think his luck will turn. And the other two with Sanchez and Coutinho, you're obviously not going to get rid of them, but looking a little bit tired. So, do you know if Sanchez is flying around the world again this international break?
No idea. No, I don't think so. I mean, I haven't heard anything. I haven't read anything. But then again, I haven't haven't researched or anything. If he was flying significant hours, we'd probably know about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he definitely needs a consistent tight midfielder in there that's going to sort of drip those assists. Someone like De Bruyne or Ozil, and he hasn't got any City attacking coverage.
No.
Which could be a problem. But yeah, for me, priority would be Jagielka, I think. But then again, you know, he's got three good defenders there, but yeah, he probably does need another playing defender.
Yeah, I mean, Watford have Man U at home. To tell you the truth, they are a chance in holding them out. Watford at home are a beast. They're like Stoke at home. Yeah. Like you'd never captain someone going to Watford.
No.
You'd never captain someone going to Stoke.
Unless you're Jamie Vardy,
yes. But I think that he can get by. But you know, there's nothing too urgent. It's just what his strategy is with Aguero. So whether he's gonna downgrade Pele to go up to Aguero, maybe Jagielka gets swapped out for someone like Marino at Liverpool, to free up some cash to enable that swap, that upgrade the week after.
So what's I just noticed Sarko is out for a significant amount of time. Do you think that'll affect the Liverpool defence?
Yeah, listen, I brought Coleman in, and I'm scared because I think there's something wrong with Everton with Jagielka out, and I think that Sarko is our best defender.
Yeah,
One of our best players, and I'm worried. Lovren's a bit of a nut, and Skrtel. So there's problems there because it all starts with Mignolet with Liverpool. Mignolet is just not an assertive presence. He's an airhead, that guy. And yes, he does look like a good shot stopper, but he does make it look good as well. And I think that has to come to an end. I'd love to see the Australian keeper Ryan in there, actually. He's exactly the type of aggressive keeper that Liverpool need. You know, you've got guys like Jordan Ive and Coutinho, like, running down the wings, and they need to be released, but Mignolet just can't hit them. He's got the worst kick in the EPL.
Yeah.
I am worried about it, but, you know, Marino fires in a lot of crosses, and if it frees up enough cash to get Aguero, it could be an option.
Yeah, could be. Cool. All right, so that's going to wrap up our episode for today. Thanks for your time, Bakes. That was good.
No worries. And
we will be back at it next week. Cool, guys. Thank you, listeners. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Sayonara. Thanks, Bakes.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye-bye.